views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, it's 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is a Tuesday, so it's a day of politics. And in the booth with me, I have council member, seat F, that I used to occupy, John Ringstead. How you doing, sir?
Good. Good morning, David.
You enjoying yourself?
I am.
You have a good 7 a.m. work session this morning?
I did. We had a good work session. Had a good discussion on a couple of issues. One dealing with our staffing of ambulances and our fire department, and one dealing with how we spend our bed tax money.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how our dealing with the ambulance, that took about two-thirds of our meeting this morning.
It did.
Yeah, very important. What did you think about that?
I thought it was a good, healthy discussion. We're trying to go forward. We've obviously have to do something different than the way it's been doing. You know, we've got an issue about staffing, adding additional staff, you know, and okay, I think we all agree we need a new ambulance or an additional ambulance. We have the ambulance. We just need the staff to run it. Having an ambulance that sits and we don't use it is kind of pointless. But then we got to look at it and say, okay, where do we get the money to pay for this? Well, the staffing is an expensive item. So we're making headway, I think, in getting to agreements on how we can do that. And you know, we've got the first part of it out of the way with the agreement with the labor contract, allowing us to manage what we have better. Mm-hmm. And we get that part. I think we're in pretty good shape on that. And now we try and move forward to talk about, okay, how many additional bodies do we need and where in the heck are we going to get the money? Our tax cap has kept us to where we only can spend so much money and only can take in so much money. So we always have to be conscious of that and try and make that work. So I know that there's a grant, a federal grant, that you've been working on as mayor to try and get us some funding for that for the next 3 years. We won't know for sure about that for a couple more months yet. But we're looking at different options and trying to find creative ways to get there, at the same time not doing more than what we need to do. So I think we've come a long ways in the last 2 months probably on this issue.
Yeah, we've really been going after it, and what you learn is what we don't get paid. Our reimbursement rates. Yeah. And, you know, we had city council members saying, hey, we should stop, you know, the subsidy to the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. You know, because we're getting stacked phone calls, and let them go out and privatize and let them have some privatization.
Well, that's one of the issues I think in the longer term that we need to do. I mean, our calls for ambulance. So if we look at the dispatch calls that come in for what we refer to as the fire department, well, 20% of them are fire and 80% of them are ambulances.
Yeah.
So the workload is really in the ambulances. And as we've been studying this further, you find out there's a lot of people in our community that now have gotten to the point of saying their first stop for medical care is the emergency room over here at the hospital. You know, okay, so maybe some of these people aren't really emergencies. On the other side of that, we do with our ambulances, people that need to be discharged from the hospital that need that. Like they say, if you're stretcher bound, you need an ambulance, and people cannot get up and walk out and drive themselves home. So it may not be in a medical emergency, but it needs to happen today. So is that the city's responsibility to do that? Is there a private business out there that might want to take on something like that? So we need to kind of look down the road and say, if we keep going, we've already given us this data, but if we keep going the way we are with the increased amount of volume, we're now working to staff the third ambulance, but the department's already told us that within probably 3 years, we're going to need a fourth one. So in a longer term management of our the city's assets, we have to figure out what are our priorities, and are there other ways of doing some of these things, and is there somebody else that can handle this? Is it really our responsibility as the city? Obviously, some of it is, but are there parts that might not be? And we need to understand that better and find out if there's other options, probably looking more 2 to 5 years down the road.
Very true. Very true. Then we looked at the next item we looked at on our work session this morning was barricades and costs and everything like that. And, oh, my goodness.
Boy, we got a surprise on that one a couple of weeks ago. You know, we have a lot of community events around town that are out in the around the streets, in the streets, blocking off streets, what have you. You know, whether it's the Midnight Sun Festival or Golden Days Parade or whatever. And for a long while now, our Public Works Department has just gone out and sucked it up and done some of this work. Well, in their, you know, we're also chirping at them, telling them, you know, you got to plow the snow and fix the potholes and do everything else you're supposed to do. And we come to find out that collectively over a bunch of these different deals of putting up, taking down, and running barricades, we're spending better part of $50,000 a year. And it's just kind of been buried in the budget.
And not getting reimbursed for it.
Yeah, not getting reimbursed.
And then losing a lot of our assets.
Our equipment's disappearing on us or getting completely trashed. So we've had a good discussion and trying to find a way to say, okay, what is our responsibility? And secondly, I mean, I think it's important that the city of Fairbanks supports things like the Golden Days Parade. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good event, and people look forward to it. And I think we should go forward. But we should recognize, okay, maybe we are going forward as a sponsor. But as a budgetary thing, you know, we should look at it and say, okay, it takes us a certain amount of money, and rather than telling Public Works to don't fix those potholes, put your time and your manpower over here doing barricades, maybe we need to look at that and say, okay, we can just put a budget, an item in their budget additional, so they still keep their money for the potholes and the snow, but here's some money that we do this other thing we've been doing all along and just
anyway,
not acknowledging that we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then it's costing them money.
Yeah, and so. it acknowledges the budget, the process, and as I was talking to the Chamber of Commerce this morning, we're not a for-profit corporation. We're going to be subsidizing just about everything, but at least this way, on this aspect, we will know what we're subsidizing and the amount into the budget, and then every council member can take a look and say, yes, that's what we're doing.
And that's important. You know, people should know, not just the council member, the public, the taxpayer should know where their money's going. You know, when it's just buried in there, you don't see it and you don't know where it goes. We have found several items in the budget that we didn't know where the money was going. We don't even know how much of it was going, and that we need to sit down and know what's in there. We need to know where it came from. We need to know where it's going and decide, is that a higher priority than some of these other things? There are, you know, there's things you can say, maybe you reduce the mill rate on the property taxes. Maybe we get some people on the additional police to patrol the downtown area, you know, to try and clean that up some. There's other priorities, and we have to start identifying them and then prioritizing them.
Very true. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. I have Council Member John Ringstead in the building here with me, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Firebird flies to the aid of kind-hearted Prince Ivan to free the captive princesses from a fearsome sorcerer and mischievous minions. Experience the pageantry of North Star Ballet's spring gala presentation, The Firebird, set to the compelling music of Stravinsky, along with original ballets and dance choreographed by North Star Ballet faculty. See North Star Ballet's 35th Spring Gala, coming to UAF Salisbury Theater April 22nd and 23rd. Visit northstarballet.org for more information and to buy tickets.
When you find an automotive repair shop with service you can trust, that's a big deal. That's why so many of our Napa Auto Care Center's customers tell their friends and neighbors about us. Stop by today and pick up your referral cards. When one of your friends comes in for vehicle service or repairs, our Napa Auto Care Center will reward you.
Get your Napa referral cards today at Expressway Auto, your Napa Auto Care Center in North Pole.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 34. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow likely tonight, 19. Cloudy. Snow likely tomorrow, highs around 30. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Councilmember John Ringsted in the studio with me here. We had a third item on our work session this morning, and that's been catching a lot of traction. That was the revision of the ordinance revising the distribution of the bed tax monies.
Yeah, bed tax, I didn't know a whole lot about the bed tax 6 months ago. I'm a steep learning curve, and it's been interesting to see the history of that. From what I can tell, it goes back to 1979.
2%.
Yeah, and it's was
for
originally
tourism and economic development.
Set up for tourism and economic development. And, you know, and that kind of had miscellaneous changes and variations over the years. And back in, I think it was 2003, there was an agreement the council came to and passed that said Fedco would get $100,000, Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation.
2003, yes.
And then there would be $30,000 put to keep the
Golden Heart Plaza
downtown by the bridge down there to clean that up and keep that in good shape. And then there was a pot of $270,000 that was divided up in kind of the small grants for nonprofits could apply for that for whatever their different purposes were. And we had a committee chaired by one of the council members that would oversee that and approve or disapprove the
appropriations
across those small grants. Most of those grants are $50,000 and less. I think I don't think there's many that are over 40.
They're all usually between 2,000 and 30,000.
Yeah, they're most of them are small.
Yeah.
So there's about 35 groups that get money out of that. The city in that agreement and that formula was set up to take 22.5%. And then it said the balance of that money,
72.5%, would go to
Explore Fairbanks, and that was kind of just an open-ended thing. And I realized as I started studying this that over the years, Explore Fairbanks is. Revenue from this went from about $900,000 to $2.8 million a year, and these other groups hadn't got a single dollar increase in 20 years. And I didn't see a lot of equity in that. You know, and I look at them, and there's, okay, tourism and other economic development. We're putting very little effort into economic development. I think, you know, after 20 years, we should be looking at these. Now, technically, it has to be appropriated by the city council every year in the budget process. But to me, and I've seen this elsewhere, if you have a formula and everybody says that's a formula, nobody looks at it, nobody discusses it, nobody talks about it, well, this is about 9% of the city's revenue. Mm-hmm. And to me, 9% of your revenue, you ought to have some discussion saying, is this a priority in our city? And is it doing what we want? Do we know what it's doing? Is it accomplishing the goals? Are goals different than they were 20 years ago? I think most people would have to say yes. Mm-hmm. Life has changed in the last 20 years. So it's been a good discussion. I think we're all learning, getting ourselves significantly more educated on the subject, and that's a good thing, you know, and trying to find something that we can come to that maybe works better for the broader city of Fairbanks rather than just one small niche of the community. We're not there yet. We've got more work to do on this, and it's going to continue to be a good discussion, and we'll see where that goes.
It's interesting how this started, the process.
It was interesting. Started a very simple request
from Lonnie Marney, head of the Discretionary Fund Committee on the City Council.
He wanted Lonnie in chairing the committee and has done a good job with that.
A very good job.
And after 20 years, he said, you know, can we bump up the money going into this? He wanted another, I think, $70,000.
$70,000.
Going into the discretionary committee.
And $30,000 going towards a festival.
Down to the park downtown. Yeah. Or the plaza downtown, excuse me. And saying, okay, that's trying to help and say these groups have gotten by on the same money for 20 years. Well, can we do something to help them? And quite frankly, I was kind of surprised, my first inclination, that they had received no additional funding for 20 years and basically been ignored. And I thought that was a reasonable request. Our revenues are up substantially in that bed tax. We had a down year, 1 year in COVID, and then it bounced right back up. Mm-hmm. And making more the last year and the current year projection than we ever have. And it seemed like a reasonable thing. As we went through that, I felt that it was, you couldn't give everybody else an increase and leave Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation with no increase either. So we bumped them up a little bit in our budget back in December. So Fedco got an additional $25,000. $20,000, I think, went to the Festival of Fairbanks for the plaza downtown.
They went from 30 to 50.
And then they just have a contract with the city to keep up that park, plaza area. And then we put an additional $80,000 into the small grants discretionary committee to be divvied up among the nonprofits that apply for that, which from Explore Fairbanks' point of view, they saw that.
They were quite infuriated.
They were quite infuriated by that. That's a polite way of saying that. And and they thought that we were taking their money away from them.
This is what got me. What got me was they applied for $2,250,000. And they put that in their budget to us. Yep. And then as I'm going through our budget, you know, the calculation is they get $2.8 million. So Lonnie comes in and says, okay, I want to redistribute $100,000 and take it from their side and give them only $2.7 million when they asked for $2.25 and redistribute it to this way. And all of a sudden, they're telling the city council that it's not fair, that if they have to give up the $100,000, the city council should give up 22.5% of that on their side. And everyone looked at him, okay, that didn't go over well. And that was at the first reading. And at the second reading, they came in and Jerry Clayworth asked him, did you talk to your board, their executive director, about donating out of this if we give you 2.8, will you donate 100,000 to these other entities? And he says, our board rejected it. And that's when they lost the room.
Well, it was unfortunate because they did. First off, it's city money, and in my mind, I don't think any group gets to donate city's money to somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
That's the city's money. You don't decide where the city money go. That's what you have a council for. That's what you have a mayor for. So to come in so stringent and say I mean, quite frankly, other than finding it in their three-ring binder, I don't recall ever being told how much money they were asking for. But they, in fact, were asking for $2.25 million. And our budget showed they were getting over $600,000 more than that.
Yeah.
And there was no discussion, no plan, no idea, nothing that was going to tell us where the $600,000 went. And they didn't want to talk about it.
They already had $1 million in reserve, too.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, this is not appropriate handling of government money. So in my mind, we had to say, okay, we as the council, we as the mayor, we as the city needed to take a better look at this and say, is there... We need to know where the people's money's going, and we need to agree that this is our top priority. And you can't just lump it out there and say you get whatever they want. So that has been, a good discussion. Unfortunately, it's been uncomfortable for several people, but that's why we get paid the big bucks, I guess. Mm-hmm.
What got me is some of the misinformation that came out. That is looking at this, and you're saying to yourself, you should always say the facts. Now, you know, the comments about taking the olive branch and ripping it up and throwing it back in their face last week in the paper, I looked at that and I just said, that's not what happened at all.
Not what happened.
And in today's city council work session, I asked every council member, you, how many times you meet with them? 4 times, okay. Did they ever offer an alternative? No. Mr. Marnie, how many times have you met with them? And you're on their board. Have they ever offered an alternative? No. Every single council member, has there ever been an alternative? No. They want what they want, and that's all they want. And
it's unfortunate that that's where the relationship has gotten to. It shouldn't be that way.
They do a great marketing program, first of all.
Yeah, their marketing, nobody has questioned the effectiveness of their program. They've done a good job. They've done a good job for themselves, our community, what have you. But we've got to understand it's public money.
Subject to appropriation every year.
Every year. But that's the law of the land. The Constitution says that's what you got to do. That's the way our governments work. And if we can't work within that, then we need to change that system and find a better system and a better working relationship as to how, what are you going to do with 9% of the city's revenue?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we found out in this discussion that you and I didn't know a couple of months ago is that the way our tax cap works, there's an exemption for part of the revenue, mm-hmm. the bed tax revenue, under the tax cap. But beyond that, there is not. And at this point, I think our chief financial officer has told us that the city and the city's revenue, and therefore the city's taxpayers, are subsidizing the tourism marketing to the tune of about $2.3 million,
yes.
$1 million a year.
If you bring it in, then there's no subsidy from the real estate tax. But if you expend more than $2,233,000, then the real estate taxpayers subsidize that amount that they have to pick up that side.
And you look at that, and we saw the numbers this morning for the first time. That's somewhere in the ballpark of $250 a year for
each property,
every homeowner in the city, much less the bigger commercial operations. And the fact that we didn't really see that, we didn't discuss that, I guess we should ask some of the taxpayers what they think about that.
Well, now that we know it, it's always going to be there and resonating. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to leave you with some David Prue's approved bumper music. This is Stevie Ray Vaughan. This is Crossfire. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back. We'll be right back.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Former President Trump appearing this afternoon at a New York City courthouse where he was processed and fingerprinted before his formal arraignment on criminal charges. Trump not commenting as he entered the courtroom. Before turning himself in, Trump was lashing out on his social media platform against the Manhattan District Attorney, the judge presiding over the case, and calling for a change of venue to a more Republican-friendly Staten Island. Pro and anti-Trump demonstrations seen outside the courthouse before today's arraignment.
There are people dressed in red, white, and blue, many with Trump shirts, hats, and flags, and others holding signs that say, lock him up, and Trump's deceit is beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, and there's a heavy police presence here in the park, with barricades separating the two sides.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers in Lower Manhattan. This is a Fox News Alert.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports that law enforcement agencies responded to Monroe Catholic High School Monday morning after receiving a report of an active shooter inside the school. The school was put on lockdown before officers determined the call had been a hoax. Fairbanks police received the 911 call around 10:25 a.m. Monday. Fairbanks police officers, along with several other law enforcement officers, searched the building. The school was locked down for less than half an hour, an FPD spokesperson said. Officers and troopers searched each room, crawl space, and hallway twice before determining that the call had been a hoax, Alaska State Trooper Captain Eric Spitzer said. It's unfortunate that students, parents, staff, and the whole community has to go through scary incidents like this, Fairbanks Police Chief Ron Dupuis said. I'm once again proud of the response from our officers and many other local law enforcement agencies. Alaska State Troopers, Fairbanks Fire Department, Airport Police and Fire, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation responded to Monroe Catholic High School. The FBI is investigating the incident. We will continue to monitor this story and provide any updates when made available.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at batteriesplus.com.
Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge is now hiring for the upcoming summer season. Have you been interested in working in the restaurant business or the travel industry? Now you can do both. Join a team that has a love for travel and meeting new people. We are actively hiring line cooks at $20 per hour, sous chefs at $22 per hour, and servers at $14 per hour. Earn a free cruise based on contract completion. Go to AlaskaTourJobs.com and apply today. Our team is waiting for your application, and we're eager to speak with you.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with John Ringstead, council member. How you doing, sir?
Good.
You had a question you were going to bring up?
I got a question for you before we get back into politics.
Okay.
Well, we started out, you know, on the program here, and we hear your Problem Corner song.
The Everly Brothers.
How old were you?
I was not born. I was not born when they did that.
Were you when they first played it here on KFAR?
I was probably not born.
I was going to say, it's been a very long time that we've been listening to that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a senior citizen too, buddy.
Yeah.
Are you trying to say young whippersnapper Pruse?
I was thinking, I wasn't very old the first time I heard it on our radio, so you must have been pretty young.
Yeah, we got a phone call. You ready?
Okay, go for it.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey, I was just visiting the sunny city of Soldotna for a week.
Thank you for taking one for the team there. I heard you got a good storm.
They did. So they have a city sales tax down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do a lot of walking around. What really amazed me and appreciated Fairbanks even more was none of the streets and parking lots and sidewalks were ever plowed. It was just all hard packed. Very hard to, you know, walk around and go to a store and pick up some groceries and come back to a hotel. And when you leave home, and sometimes we think we're too aggressive on our snow removal, you sure do appreciate it when you're when there's none. And they have a city sales tax, so I don't even know why they can't, you know, maintain a budget to at least clean the sidewalks and streets.
Yes, we do. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. About 3 weeks ago, as a member of Fast Planning, which is our Fairbanks, anyway, it's what you're doing is taking looking at long-term projects for your streets and sidewalks. Well, there's this bicycle component and sidewalk component of it, you know, having more bicycle in Fairbanks. And so they looked at the city of Fairbanks and they showed the bicycle plan on the sidewalks. And some of it was good. Some of it, you know, I looked and said, you know, that's going to get people ran over. So, but in the discussion, this one gentleman on the bicycle committee, he made a comment I didn't appreciate. He says, if the city of Fairbanks got serious about snow plowing, and, you know, my hackles went up, we're doing a good job. And so he started talking about where he lived there off of Cowell Street down around 10th Avenue and how bad the sidewalks are. So I thought about it, and, you know, we got along fine. There's no issues, but I thought about it later. And I told him that, you know, all building owners are in charge of shoveling that sidewalk in front of their property.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about it. I said, you know, probably the most used sidewalk, residential sidewalk, in all of Fairbanks is that Cowell Street sidewalk that goes from First Avenue down to the Nolwien Library, down to the bowling alley, down to Raven's Landing, across Airport Road, over to Ryan Junior High, Lathrop, the Memorial Hospital, and everything. All that is there. So the next morning, this was a Tuesday. So the next morning at a staff meeting, I told the head of public works, we have these four neat little things to do sidewalks with. We're going to start doing cowls. We're going to do it from First Avenue all the way down because that's the most used one. He goes, no problem. And to my surprise, the next morning he comes in, he goes, Mayor, I've got good news for you and I got bad news for you. I go, what's that? He goes, we got the Cowell Street sidewalk all done yesterday. I go, great. He goes, and it just snowed 4 inches.
Yeah.
comment, Al, you know, we do. We do a good job, I think, relatively speaking, of trying to get rid of our snow. And we need to appreciate that it's not an easy job.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about going to Soldat and all the hard packed on their streets. There's a few of us around that remember in Fairbanks, when we were kids, you'd go hooky bobbing down the street.
Yes, you would, holding onto the back bumper of a car, not letting them know it. And you'd be sliding behind the back of the car.
Because it was all hard packed snow, and you could slide all the way down the block, and the driver would never know you were there.
That's how you got home.
You know, you couldn't do that in Fairbanks anymore because the streets aren't slick enough.
I know.
You don't see neither the snow machine or snowmobile traffic on them anymore.
No, you don't either, yeah.
But I think sometimes we need to look around and say, okay, we're not perfect. We got a long ways to go. But we're, you know, a lot of small towns our size and smaller don't do near as well as we do. And I think it makes a big difference, you know. I'm going down the street the other day. We've had streets that were all been dry 3 times already last 2 weeks.
In our last budget, I want to compliment John and the city council. We submitted a budget, and they approved it, and we doubled the amount of sidewalk plow vehicles that we have. And so, you know, yesterday I was driving down Cushman Street, and there at 2nd and 5th Avenue were these little snow plows, you know, that are track vehicles for a person to stand on. There they were cleaning the sidewalks. And, you know, it's just great to see. Years past, we never saw that before. So we're really going after both sidewalks and street snow plowing. We really are. And the council's really put a good budget out there to go do it. Just go get it done.
Yep. No, I was just, you know, you just appreciate that stuff. And sometimes you don't realize it till you go to a place that doesn't have a priority like Fairbanks does.
John and I were in Anchorage for this convention, Alaska Municipal League, in December, first part of December, in the middle of a snowstorm. Oh, my God.
Yeah. They weren't ready for it.
That's all. They're never ready for it.
Very sad. I appreciate the phone call, sir. Tell us about your 1 week with the Alaska Game Board.
Yeah, I would, but I got to go see my tax accountant.
It is that time of the year. You're in April, buddy. You got to go. Okay, yeah, bye. Yeah, that was interesting being down there during that snowstorm.
Yeah, Oh, Anchorage has been hammered all winter long, one big dump after the other. They've got more snow than they know what to do with. And down there you get that wet, heavy snow.
Yeah.
They're
getting
icing up and roof problems. And
Yeah. Very sad.
It's been a tough winter on them down there.
Yeah. How do you like being on the council so far?
Well, so far so good. It's I really hasn't planned on doing this until Mayor Matherly called me up and said, "Hey, I'm going to appoint you to the council." And I asked him, "Well, can I sleep on that overnight?"
No.
Anyway, it's been good. Been good to work with people that are good to work with. It's generally speaking, I've enjoyed the people involved. There are issues I think we need to be dealing with, and hopefully we're starting to deal with a few. I've kind of looked at it and saying, somebody's got to do this, and I'm willing to throw stuff out there, controversially or otherwise, and say, yeah, let's talk about this and move forward. So far, so good.
Ready for a phone call?
Let's go.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Mr. Pruse. You guys talked a bit about the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, I believe,
mm-hmm.
I heard. So economic development, in my mind, is growing the private sector. And then mm-hmm. as the private sector grows, tax revenue from that growth increases and increases government budgets. Unfortunately, from what I see in here, the current Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation is pretty much interested in growing the government. And they're not doing what they should be doing to help the private sector. I could be a little off, but they just seem to be a bunch of Democrats supporting government entities. So I'll let you guys talk a little more about that if you know more. And then I just want to say one more thing, and I'll hang up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxiously awaiting the catalog for the upcoming confiscated firearm sale at the end of this month, so would you please have your people get that catalog?
That was in the paper the other day. I saw that list in the paper.
Yeah.
It was an ad.
That's through Public Works, and we'll get that posted on our City of Fairbanks website, okay?
Yep, I'm waiting. Thanks, Dave.
You got it. You got it.
So I'll jump in on Fedco piece. I had a good conversation with Jomo Stewart the other day. He's the executive director of that. And I agree with our last caller. That's where the economic development that they're working on should be private sector
expansion.
Part of our economy.
Yeah.
So I had a good conversation with Jomo about that and where I thought it should go. And that direction, and he's completely open to doing that. So I think we need to get more discussion and more focus. For me, and what I talked with him about is the city is a large contributor to Fairbanks economic development, and we collectively need to sit down and figure out what we want, and then have that conversation with he and his board of directors as a large contributor to your organization. Here's what we would like to see you doing and working on with our money. And that's the direction. And he told me he's very willing and open to that discussion.
I took a direct approach.
No, you've been direct.
Yeah. What I did was I am one of their board members. So what I did was I put Crystal Tidwell on the city council in there for me. And she's a business agent with 302, and she knows heavy equipment, she resource development, that sort of thing. But I sat her and Jomo down. And I said, we have this airport. And Crystal, you're on the city council for 3 years, maybe for six. But if you and Jomo can start getting more landings, cargo,
more freight, more
landings out at the airport, then I'll believe you to be successful. So after about 2 months, I said, "How's it going?" And I said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." So I gave the airport manager a call. The three of us went out there. We met the airport manager, saw their long-term plans, what they're thinking. How can I help them? The governor, the DOT. They're always, they answer to Anchorage first, and Anchorage is out of room, so expansion's up here, available. How do we go about doing it? So Mike, that caller who just called in, hear you, like it. That's exactly
where we're going.
Correct. Exactly where we're going. You know, create jobs, create more infrastructure for Fairbanks. Landings out the airport. It's not in the city limits. We're not going to annex it. But you know something? It's called Fairbanks International Airport. So, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
It's coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
For more than 40 years, the Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic has taken care of the Fairbanks community. From the thousands of patients cared for by our team of medical professionals to the nonprofits and community programs we support and sponsor, we want to make Fairbanks the best it can be. We're open and ready to serve you right now for any ailments of the head, neck, ear, sinus, or throat. To book an appointment or to find out more, you can log on to fairbanksent.com or call 456-7768. Fairbanks Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic. Building community. Helping people. Changing lives.
Great news! Independent Rentals' new storage facility is now open. Conveniently located on South Cushman across from Independent Rental, you'll find secure outdoor storage for vehicle, equipment, trailers, boats, and RV parking at the best price in town. Independent Rental also offers all sizes of storage units up to 20 and 40-foot storage containers. With units starting at $20 a month, Independent Rental is the choice for safe, secure, and convenient storage solutions at an affordable price.
Independent Rental, 2020 South Cushman. We're here to help.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 34 today under overcast skies with snow likely. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to around 19. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs around 30. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here with John Ringstead. How you doing, sir?
Good.
Enjoying yourself?
I am. Oh, we always have fun talking.
Yes. We're coming into spring. What other items in the city are on your mind besides taking direction from our city clerk?
Yeah, city clerk keeps me in line, tells me what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. So,
well, you have two employees. You have two employees, therefore you have two bosses.
Two bosses.
The city clerk and the city attorney.
And both of them are good at keeping me out of trouble. That's a good thing. Yeah. Tell me what I'm not allowed to do and how to do it.
I ask them that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's you asked me about the being the job, you know, and I do. We've got good people over there working with us. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty impressed with most of the leadership of the city, and including our two for the work for the council. The city clerk and the city attorney are actually hired by and work directly for the council. They've been excellent to work with. You know, they're knowledgeable, they're smart, they're happy and friendly most of the time, like the rest of us try to be. But it's been a good group, and you know, we're not perfect. And one of the things I learned a long time ago, that our system of government was not designed to be efficient. But it drives us crazy about how slow it is sometimes and how hard it is to get things done. But, you know, it's still the best system going. Mm-hmm. And if you want a real efficient government, get a dictator. You know, I don't want to live under a dictator. So I'll take the inefficiency and the frustration. So, you know, it's been good, and it's been it's fun to work with good people. So,
you know, it's interesting what we have coming up. You know, we have a street thawing. We're going to have our steam trucks out, opening up the different clogged drains and stuff like that. Then we go into summer construction. We have Fifth Avenue that we're going to be doing and a few other things. Fifth Avenue from Noble Street down to Cowles will be redone. It needs to be redone, and we're going to have sidewalks on there. Then at our next meeting, we will be doing a resolution to accept the lowest bid on the destruction of the Polaris building. That'll be Monday night. On Tuesday, I will sign the letter of notice of award, awarding it. And then on Wednesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon there, on 2nd and Lacey Street. We're having a ceremony to take a to pay homage and respect to the building, and also take a few bricks off the mortar there. You know, we're not gonna you're not gonna see the tower coming down, but that'll probably start in September.
Well, that's good. I know, David, you have worked long and hard for the last several years on doing that project, and you know, it's one of those that somebody just had to take the bull by the horns and say, it's time.
Yeah, spend 7 years of your life on it without realizing it.
Well, yeah, but you have, and I'll give you the credit for making that effort, and hopefully in the next 12 to 18 months, that's going to be gone out of there, and, you know, we're going to have a nice, clean piece of property that's useful. Because it has not been useful and it's not been clean for a long time.
I've done is I've met with the Downtown Association. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is what we're going to do. As soon as it's down, we're going to put a couple food trucks in there. Now, I don't want to get the Downtown Association mad at me because we're having different competition with food. But we're going to be putting food trucks down here. So if anyone in your organization has a food truck, give me a proposal. Okay, that's what we're doing.
Well, I think it'll
be. They like that. They did like that.
They didn't like that. I think, you know, it'll be a while. You look each step as we've gone over the years and cleaned out the old neighborhoods and the old buildings that needed to go away. Nothing happens quickly, and the new buildings usually don't come in quickly.
Yeah.
So we need to be patient. Understand that that's not. It's kind of the way it works usually. And it will continue to be that way. So hopefully we'll get something on that property, you know, before we're all too old to appreciate it.
Yeah, 1 to 4 years. You know, you know, you'd probably it's going to take a year to really find, if not two, to find someone who's going to redevelop that.
You know, and I look down in the down where the Marriott is, down the what we used to refer to as the bar block down there between 1st and 2nd. You know, it took us a long time to get state money finally to buy up all that property, and then it took us better part of a decade to get the hotel in there.
Yeah.
You know, same way with where the state office building is downtown. That was what was called an urban renewal project back in the 60s. Got some federal money to buy up 3 blocks and put new use to it, and eventually you got pennies in there, and then we got the state office building in there. It took some time. But, you know, you look at it now and say it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and so, it's not becoming a parking lot. It is not becoming a parking lot.
Yeah. We're spoiled with our parking. We all expect to park right in front of the door of the building we're going into.
We're quite spoiled. I saw this report from Kellen Spielman over. He's director of the planning and zoning over at the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And he showed me this study with, you know, we got like 782 parking spots available in the downtown area. But what caught him was you have a longer walk from the parking lot at Walmart from your car than you do from normally downtown. From parking someplace and going into where you're going to be in Fairbanks.
That's true. You can park better part of 100 yards from Walmart in their own parking lot.
Yeah, so it gets interesting. It gets interesting. We had an active shooter call yesterday at Monroe and ICS High School. Me and you went to school there.
We did.
You started in first grade, as did I. Skipped a few years and came back there for high school.
He probably skipped them because he was too smart and didn't have to go.
No, that wasn't the issue.
But we, you know, I mean, as I understand it, I have no official knowledge on this, but my granddaughter tells me that they were all in sit-down mode. Everybody stayed in their rooms and sat tight. And the
police were over there within 2 to 4 minutes.
Yes, they were there quickly. They were roaming up and down the halls, in and out of the classrooms, all over the building, all over the inside, the outside. It was an eventful day for a bunch of kids that were over there.
I was with the chief of police, and when he got the notification, within 8 to 10 minutes, they got the notification. All was fine, and it was a hoax. Within 8 to 10 minutes.
And my understanding, I don't know if it's right, wrong, or indifferent, you might know better, that this has happened in several schools all over the United States.
At the same time on the same day yesterday.
Same day. And they have traced the calls to an overseas phone number, not even an American phone number. So who knows where it came from? Who knows what the rest of the story will be, as Paul Harvey used to say. But you know, our kids were safe, and the process worked. the people that needed to respond did. They did their job. They did it well. They did it quickly.
You know, as soon as I knew it was okay, I just looked at the chief of police and I said, we should do an after-action report within 2 days. So that'll be hopefully by tomorrow. We'll all get in a room and see what went right, what did not go right. Yeah. And when this happened at Lathrop in November, what we found out, you know, it really helped us on this one because they had all the video camera feeds turned off to the city of Fairbanks. We couldn't see the videos from inside the schools. For whatever reason, we couldn't see the videos.
Well, and I then, would guess and people then, you know, wanted to see
the,
that.
The protocol is, you know, you don't open up that room for anything until, you know, an all clear has been given. And, you know, they're police are knocking on doors, and a couple teachers mistakenly open it up, and they got, don't do that.
Don't do that.
We're just going to see if this is open or not, you know.
Well, you're right. The sad truth is that events are learning experiences. You know, we don't rehearse them. I have learned in other capacities that as much as you hate some of these drills and the practice, you do them. You know, I remember, you probably remember, we'd all go out and we had fire drills.
Yeah.
We'd all parade out, even if it was 20 below. We'd all stand out in the playground. Yeah.
And we're all looking at ourselves, who chose today?
Yeah, right. But we knew what to do.
Yeah.
When the bell rang, we knew what to do.
Yeah.
And we all did it.
Yeah, you did it 2 to 3 times a year. And they sat there with a stopwatch to time how fast it took.
Yeah, you know, but that's hopefully
the other thing. That was one time you were not mischief because you'd be clipped on the ear by the teacher. If you were mischievous during that time frame,
no, this
is. Yeah. We did not have duck and cover anymore, but we did that fire drill, and we were all very serious.
Yeah, and but that's hopefully we can use this as a learning exercise for not just the school and the kids, but for the city and, you know, all the people that are involved in the responses to those things and how to make it better and safer next time.
Any fun plans over the summer?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of fun plans, but
I've
got a bunch
list.
Of projects. I've got a bunch of projects that have to get done. I've been putting them off too long, and so I got a bunch of projects to do. So, but you know,
will your son be assisting you in these projects?
No, I think I'm going to be assisting him.
Oh,
he's very good about that. I'm supposed to be having lunch with him in 15 minutes. No, he has told me that he takes the lead from now on. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But it's your project and he's taking the lead.
Well, yeah, he takes the leads when I do on his projects too.
So basically you're upper management, just, you know, you're.
No, I'm the helper.
Oh, you're the helper.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What the heck? My goodness.
Life is good.
Well, we got about a minute left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, you know, I guess I would say that, you know, where you and I are sitting here with the city and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, we appreciate the input, people's thoughts, whether we agree or disagree. We need to know what people are thinking about what the issues are. And we will try and continue to make the best decisions we can. But it's helpful to keep knowing what and hearing what people think.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you coming in today. You know, today's a political day, and all politics are local.
All politics are
local. If you want the most influence, it's at your local governments. It's at your local governments. And the ones we have here is the City of North Pole, City of Fairbanks, Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. So that's where you have the most influence, and you also have the most access to your local government officials.
That's true. That's true, and we should appreciate that.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. That's our show for today. Mr. Ringstead, greatly appreciate you being here. I will see you all tomorrow. You have a good day.